What is up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Real Sports Talk with Silas on the Real Talk with Silas podcast. Today we have the one and only AJ. What is up, man? Basketball is back. How are you feeling?
Hey, man, I feel good, man. I feel great as a Heat fan, to be honest with you, because I'm low-key, and probably getting into it right away, but I'm low-key happy that we're still the underdogs.
Amen to that.
Because it's just who the city of Miami is. And I just want to put this out there. And notice when there's a difference between a calendar year. Calendar year means from January 1st to December 31st, okay? Mm-hmm. Calendar year. There's between a calendar year and a season. If the Dolphins win their last game, it'll be the first time in over a decade that all three major Miami sports teams made the playoffs in a single calendar year. The first time in a minute. And I'm happy about that. I'm really happy about that because the Marlins made the playoffs this year. The Heat made the playoffs this year. If the Dolphins win, if they could win, yo, they're in. Yeah, bro, you got to be happy. If you're a Heat fan or just a Miami fan, period, you got to be happy about that. But the city of Miami has been slept on for so long. And I just had to throw that out there. But, you know, I'm excited about the Heat season, though.
Let's go ahead and get into it. So for those of you who don't know, the first two games were played, we played against Orlando and the New Orleans Pelicans. We beat New Orleans. We lost our first game against Orlando. But every year we always have a struggle against Orlando, and I wouldn't even call it a struggle. It's just one of those games where, you know, early in the season we either lose to them or win, and it's always like a one off. Like we lose one, we win one, or we win one and we lose one with Orlando.
Yeah, historically, in the franchise's history, Orlando always plays as hard. It's just no way around it. I'm not even upset at that loss. And really, if I had to pick between the two games, I would have picked that one to lose.
Oh, yeah.
Because Orlando, even when we had the Big Three, Big Three didn't have a winning record against Orlando, and Orlando didn't have all that great a team. But they just play us tough. That franchise just plays us tough. No way around it.
So I'm looking at the schedule for the season. And one thing I see that they're doing, which I don't know if I like that, but I mean, it is what it is. So I guess for the whole, because as you guys know, we have the whole COVID situation. A lot of teams that we're playing them back to back.
Yeah. Yep.
So like for instance, our next game is tomorrow. We're playing Milwaukee, and then on Wednesday we play Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And then a couple weeks after.
Both
in Milwaukee. But then a couple weeks after that, we play Dallas, OKC, Boston. Then it's Washington, then Boston again. So I'm guessing since they're close, we're playing those two teams. But then it's Philly, Detroit, Toronto, and then Brooklyn. Like that is just like to me, that's a crazy lineup. Like we're playing the same team mostly all of the season.
Yeah. And it's like you said, it's due to COVID. And I made the mistake that it's actually Milwaukee is in Miami. It's not at Milwaukee.
Yes.
Both Milwaukee games are in Miami. But it's COVID. It's a shortened season also. Remember, we're getting 10 less games this season.
Yep.
So it's only 72 games. And what I remember the last time we had a 72-game season was the year Miami Big Three won the first championship. That was 2012. Mm. So, one of the things that was the highlight of that season was that there were so many back-to-back games. But they weren't always in the same with the same opponent. I don't remember that at all. But I remember the games being so close together, so for instance, we're playing Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, you know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
it's like it's a lot of back-to-back games. Why they're doing it this way, it could only be because it's shortened season, and of course COVID, They want to get the season done, and they want to get the season, they want to get back on track to their regular schedules, because I think what the hope is that next year we could start having fans, you know, because
most stadiums do have fans. It's just very limited. Another thing too, with the reason why I believe that we're playing back to back, you know, the same team too, I think it's, you know, to limit the whole transferring from state to state, you know, from all that, which it makes sense. And honestly, I kind of see that, you know, now thinking about it, it could also be a leverage to a lot of teams too, because they won't have that whole jet lag situation, or, you know, they don't have to worry, which I know as an NBA star, you're used to moving state to state and whatnot. But I mean, that's also something to consider, you know, where we're not going to be so crazy with moving out of state and all that other stuff every other game. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. So where do you want to start? I say we could jump right into, you want to jump into New Orleans last matchup? Because I really like that win. You know, Duncan Robinson was really nice to watch that game.
Yeah, you know, here's what's crazy about that game, and maybe some Heat fans might not like what I say here, but it is what it is. I want people to really understand it in context, but the Pelicans have a more talented team than the Miami Heat do. There's more talent on the Pelicans. Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, that their ceilings are, I mean, right now it's limitless, because their talent is ridiculous. I know you're not a huge fan of them. I'm gonna throw Lonzo Ball in there because I think Lonzo, even though he wasn't crazy with points, you know, at all, he's a defender, and he was a defender to the point where he was trending. I mean, because he was giving Dragic issues in that backcourt. So, you know, after a while, because remember, first half, I don't even think they played Ball on Dragic full court. They let him pick him up half court. But when he started picking him up full court, man, that the Pelicans were able to shrink the lead to 5, but they still never recovered after that. So, you know, they never could get back after that.
Yeah, Dragic was like Chikaris and just went him.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he went absolutely him. So, you know, that's one thing I just want to point out, is the Pelicans have a more talented team, but Miami has a team, you know, period. You know, the things that I saw that night, I hate the fact that Jimmy was out after a while. You know, we hope that he's healthy. And if I'm the Heat, I'm resting him as much as I possibly can.
And that's what I was about to say, too. I'll let you finish. But, you know, that whole letting Jimmy, I want to see more games like that, because one, it's going to grow the trust in the team more, that when one of our big guns is sitting out, which is what happened in the finals last season, everybody else stepped up big time. And we saw Avery come in and stepped up real big. You know, obviously the Hero, most definitely Duncan was amazing out there, you know, Adebayo had to step up. So games like this, it sucks to not see Jimmy out there, but I would prefer it, because like, and I saw this on a tweet, you know, I don't want to see Jimmy if he has a little tweaked ankle and it's even feeling bothered some to him. I don't want to see him out there, because we don't need that. You know, we don't need to worry about that. Jimmy. So.
It's already a shortened season.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
It's already a shortened season. My thing is, too, there's a couple things, if anything, that was a little concerning for me. One, not concerning, that's too strong of a word, but something just to look out for. One, now Bam got into some early foul trouble, so he wasn't playing as much. You know, he finished with 17 points. I'm the type of person, this is where you're going to start hearing AJ being not tough on Bam, but I'm really going to be watching Bam closely, because that contract you have, I need at least 20 to 24 a night. I need at least 10 to 12 rebounds, because you're capable of doing it. You know, so, you know, so I'm really watching Bam. Now, I'm not nitpicking Bam now. I'm not saying every single game if I don't see that stat line. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that at all.
But I see what you're saying, you know, in a sense of this is how, you know, a lot of people say that I was really tough on Giannis, you know, in a sense, and especially last year, you know, no more excuses for him. Now it's at the point where I'm not saying there's no more excuses for Bam, but I mean, he needs to step up even more now because he is that guy.
He's that guy. And especially with Butler, it looks like he's going to be out. Yep. You know, we need Bam to step up. Another thing that was just, again, it was a little concerning, but I'm not worried about it right now. We'll see the next game because I think after we play Milwaukee on Tuesday, we'll know exactly where we're going to see changes if it doesn't work out. But that's Tyler Hero starting at the point guard position.
Yep.
You know, Tyler Hero is a point guard. He played point guard at his high school. He came off the bench as a two at Kentucky, but he did move to the one a couple of times. Calipari, I watched Hero in college. He was nice. He wasn't standout crazy at all, but he was nice because Kentucky already has so much talent. But I really believe, you know, he has a huge task ahead of him. In my opinion, him and Jrue Holiday are kind of like the same player. Yep. Because Jrue Holiday to me is not a true point guard, but Jrue Holiday has the experience over him. So we have to see how that's going to work out come Tuesday. If that's still a problem, then I completely see Spo changing up the point guard, you know, to start. Unless he's just going to keep him there and let him get it. Because, I mean, it's only a few games in, but again, a shortened season, you got to get your team into a rhythm. You know, fairly quickly. You know, the Lakers are in the rhythm. You know, I wouldn't even say everybody's in the rhythm, but you know, those are their few teams that just, you know, at some point, you know, they're gonna get it. And I feel like that about Miami also.
Yep. One thing I could say, I'm gonna jump on it real quick.
Yeah.
Just to continue on that. So the whole Tyler Hero situation. So here's a little thing I want you to ponder off, and So I know this is all you fans, you're going to come at me like, oh, do not make that comparison, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, in the future, way down in the future, later in his career, I could see him potentially becoming this type of player, like the caliber of what D-Wade was for Miami. I could see that for Tyler Hero. Now, when D-Wade was drafted by Miami, he was drafted as a point guard. So, and then we moved him to the two, and he started playing shooting guard position. Mm-hmm. Right. So I say that eventually that's what's going to happen with Hero. This is my thoughts. I'm not saying this is anything official, but I feel like this is something that can possibly happen that honestly, I believe, especially because of his size, too. I feel like he would be stayed and started as a shooting guard eventually in our team. And, you know, I honestly, personally, I would like to see Avery Bradley as our starting point guard. You know, and it's crazy because we need Duncan Robinson, and I know we kind of talk about this. We need him as our starting, you know, shooting guard because he just brings a whole new flavor to the team. But specifically on Hero, I could see that transition of us making him, if not even coming off the bench, but I believe we need Hero and Duncan in the starting lineup because there are, you know, the tenacity and the kind of emotion that they bring to the team, it's very big, you know, even if it's coming off the bench or whatnot. But I feel like eventually we're going to see Hero at that two spot. But for one game, I would definitely like to see Bradley be our starting point guard with like a Tyler Hero start or even maybe a Duncan start, you know. But I would like to see Bradley take over that point guard position because he did it in Boston. You know, when he was younger and he was on that team, and he definitely did it last season for the Lakers, which was, it was pretty good, as you can see.
right.
So, I mean, personally, I would like to see that just to see a little nice movement, nice different. And the fact that Avery Bradley is shooting with no hesitation this season, as we saw in this game. He was catching and he was shooting when he needed to and, you know, making the right passes. Again, it is early, but I did like what I saw from Avery Bradley.
So.
Yeah, I think he was definitely a great spark. It's something that he's done his entire career. You know, I'm not mad at that at all. Here's the thing. I actually would think, though, if Butler is out, you almost have to insert Goran Dragic into the starting lineup.
You think so?
I think you have to, because if Butler's out, you know, who's going to be your at least if the Tyler Hero experiment doesn't work right now. I think the Tyler Hero experiment is okay with Butler in the lineup, because at least you have somebody else able to really bring up the ball and whatnot, you know. But Bam is going to have his hands full with Giannis, okay? Yeah. He's going to have his hands full. So, you know, to ask him to bring the ball up and facilitate and, you know, keep Giannis in check, you know, that's a lot. That's a lot.
So is Jimmy officially out for tomorrow's game?
Well, there hasn't been any word yet, but for his last, you know, his last game, you know, he tweaked his ankle pretty bad that he couldn't return. And, you know, if it's a tweak to an ankle, he would have returned. But it had to have been a little bit more serious than that for him to have not returned to that game. And the game was close. It wasn't like we had been blowing them out by that time. You know, we were starting to widen the lead a little bit. But, you know, it'd be different if he was just like, oh, I'm not going to return because we're up 20 points. But it wasn't like that. So, And I think it was actually at the half, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he didn't come back in the second half.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they had made that run. You know, never got the lead, but, you know, they still made a run. So, you know, so again, if Jimmy is out, you almost would have to insert Goran Dragic. You just can't have your starting line. The thing is that if Hero was that type of guy, you know, that could just, which I think he can be, that could just switch it on and get points for his team, then fine. You know, right now he's not there. He's only in year two, okay? He's going to get there, though.
Oh, yeah.
Where literally that's you can depend on him. Yeah, you're going to be able to depend on him, in my opinion. I think Hero's ceiling is high. I'm one of the people that believed in him the moment we drafted him. I said, yo, Hero's going to be all right for us. And I think Hero's the type that could get you 25 a night. He really could. And he could. So that's what I'm hoping to see. So having said that, Goran Dragic inserted into the starting lineup, that can bring Avery Bradley and Tyler Hero off the bench, which I think is a great 1-2 punch off the bench. So, you know, we'll just have to see how that works out. I do also see Myers Leonard starting again.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. That was great.
Yeah,
was great.
I see that happening again, especially seeing that it may be Brooke that's starting tomorrow. If Milwaukee goes small, then, you know, I don't think we'll see Myers Leonard if they go small, you know, because then Giannis at the five, he'd eat Myers Leonard for lunch.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, and Myers Leonard will put the effort in and everything, but yeah.
So you think we won't see a showing from Kelly at all?
I don't know. You know what's crazy? You know what I really believe? And people are going to laugh when I say this, but I literally believe Spoelstra waits until the last minute to announce any type of starting lineup.
Yeah, I agree with
like
you.
I think if they told him they need the starting lineup by 30 minutes before tip-off, he will submit it at 29.9. Like, I mean, like, he
would. And, like, on purpose with a smile on his face. Yeah.
Like, yeah, man. Like, he just, he does this, man. And you know, so there's really no telling who's going to get minutes. You know, it's always somebody different. You know, just like in the finals or in the playoffs. We didn't see DJJ a lot, but the times we saw him, you know, it was just like, oh, wow, DJ's in. You know,
you know,
like, so it was always a surprise. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a Kelly showing. I really would love to see KZ Akpala.
Yeah.
I really think he's the Jimmy replacement. You know, honestly, I think you insert him at the three, I think you're good. You know, and I'm not saying replacement, like he's going to replace Jimmy's job, but Jimmy being injured, bro, you need the size, man. And, you know, Harkless got the experience, I get it, but you got to get KZ going, man.
So here's my idea on a starting lineup. I don't, and you could tell me yours or what you think about mine. I'd actually, so to kind of Benji off of what I said earlier, I would like to see a Bradley, Duncan, and you're gonna be surprised by this. I want to see a Hero, Adebayo, and possibly a Leonard or Kelly, whichever you want to go with that start. How would you feel about that?
Well, I mean, my only concern with that Hero at the three, he's just too, he's 6'6".
Yeah.
You know, but he's a slim 6'6". He's not a small 6'6", though. He's not, like, tiny. He's not, like, DJJ. Like, he's not that little. But, you know, your three got to be kind of strong.
Because I'm thinking of also the lineup of Milwaukee. Who do they have as their third right now? I mean, well, you have, it would be Giannis, but really they put him in, as a point.
Yeah, they usually put him, or they put him at the four.
Yeah.
Like, with whatever it costs. This is the crazy thing. I think the Miami Heat doesn't get enough credit because they came up with this positionless basketball stuff. But he would have to deal with Chris Middleton. So, you know, at the three, unless Chris Middleton is playing it too, you know.
Because the way I see it, as a point guard position, you're going to have a guy like Bradley who is very good on defense. And he's going to be on Jrue Holiday. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, is a good matchup. And then, you know, yeah, you may have to take that L with the two and Duncan Robinson, but that's already – you're already counting on that L from him, which he – and this is no disrespect to Duncan Robinson, because last game he stepped up his defense a lot. And even on the offensive side, when he was setting screens and getting open himself, like, that was amazing. That was really good. And we may see more of an improvement on that. And I think now is a time where we need to try new things. And I feel like if that was the case, this would be the perfect time to insert a lineup like that if you want to try something new. If not, you go your way, you know, you get the whole Dragic and whatnot. And we'll see how it goes. I just really hope, before you give me your lineup and stuff, I just really hope we don't have the same situation of what we had last game, and all we're doing is replacing, because Kendrick Nunn didn't play last game. So I just don't want him to fill that role.
Yeah, I was about
role.
To say, that was almost like he's almost an afterthought at this point, because I completely forgot. We didn't even mention Kendrick Nunn, but he's an afterthought, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't want him to be just like, okay, Jimmy's not playing, we need the extra body, let's get him. I would rather, put it this way, if we need an extra body, I would rather, like as you say, play a Silva, or most definitely KZ. Put it this way, I would put UD to play in that game over Kendrick Nunn.
Dang, that's disrespectful.
It is. But honestly, at this point, man, like, no more excuses, man. And I haven't said it all season. I know the season just started, but no excuses for Kendrick Nunn this season.
Kendrick, unfortunately,
that all.
And here's the thing. What makes that unfortunate with Kendrick is that we were so high on him in the beginning of the season. We were so high on him because he gave us a reason to be. And just for whatever reason, after COVID, and we get into the bubble, he just completely forgot. He just forgot. So that sucks. But here's the thing. Milwaukee's starting lineup the last two games has been interesting. So they've been playing Jrue Holiday at the point. Dante DiVincenzo, who was an absolute tier when he was playing for Villanova. That kid is special. He's just a special kid. And then you got Chris Middleton at the three, Giannis at the four, and you got Brooke Lopez at the five. So if they go with that lineup, it almost would have to be the lineup I could see more your lineup happening. If Spo decides to still bring Goran off the bench, I can see your lineup happening.
I'm gonna have to pause you for a second, because I just clicked on the Milwaukee Bucks, like, on ESPN, their whole team thing, and I went to their, like, schedule and what's coming up, and I just realized they just lost by 20 points to the Knicks yesterday. Like, I know it's early.
I knew they lost to the Knicks. I didn't know.
110 to 130. Yeah, that's That's, yeah. And it's no indication that anybody was not playing. So I don't know, maybe it was, yeah, everybody played.
Well, remember, there's a new sheriff in town there, and Tom Thibodeau. So, you know, Knicks may be, you know, everybody's overlooking them. You know, Knicks may be a surprise. I don't know so much as a playoff team, but a spoiler. They could spoil a lot of teams now. You know, their roster on paper doesn't look all that great at all. It just looks like a bunch of random people. But I'm even looking here. Julius Randle dropped the double-double on them. 29 and 14. Payton dropped 27. You know? Yeah, Elfrid Payton, man. I'm so surprised that he's bounced around as much, because he's another one of those long point guards. I like, if I constructed my team, I like my point guard to be at least 6'4". That's I like long, tall, long point guards. You know what I mean? That, because I feel like on the defensive side, they can create havoc, you know, because point guards tend to be smaller. And then RJ Barrett has 17 points. So, you know, that's crazy. I didn't watch the Knicks play. I may have to watch a game of them now that they beat the Bucks, because that is significant for them. They've been terrible.
Well, not only that, you know, Giannis had a triple-double. Oh, no, he had a double-double. He had 27 points, and he had 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. And, you know, that's with Middleton scoring 22 points. And, you know, Holiday only scored 8. But then you have DiVincenzo. I can never say his name right, but he scored 10. Now, that's big. Like most of the times when Bucks are doing this, especially when Giannis is dropping a 27-pointer, they're winning the game. The fact that they did that, and a little bit more, you know, and they still lost. To me, that's...
Yeah, the Knicks got more out of their starters than the Bucks got out of theirs. That's what it looks like. You know, Holiday only dropping 8 points. Brooke Lopez only dropping 6. You know, that's never going to cut it, you know. And their starting lineup was a minus. So, their starting lineup was just not good. So, you know, and it actually looks like it was a wire-to-wire victory for the Knicks. They outscored them in every quarter except the fourth quarter, but that's insane. That's insane. So, you know, but, you know, usually when you see a game like that happen, you hate to be the next person to play them, because they usually bounce back. So, you know, I eat the Clippers, you know, after Dallas lost to the Lakers, you know, they spanked the Clippers like they stole something.
Well, then again, so, there was no Kawhi there. I mean, I know that doesn't make a big... I mean, it makes a... correction. It makes a really big difference that Kawhi's there and not there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Kawhi wasn't there. So, that's another big thing to think about.
Yeah. But, I just think that with that lineup that Milwaukee has coming, I think your lineup works. I just have a feeling that Goran is going to see extra minutes tomorrow.
Most definitely.
Whether it's extra minutes off the bench or whether it's extra minutes starting. You know, Spoelstra just, he surprises us every time.
Well, so here's another thing, too, and I don't know if you noticed it last game, but Dragic was actually really tired when we went on that little run. And, like, it was to the point to where he walked over and he was like, yeah, man, I need a break. And he goes, and, you know, it was that little scene where, you know, Jimmy is just telling him, yo, stop talking. It was like a little joke between them two. But, Dragic looked actually winded. I mean, I know we just came out of playoffs and the finals and all that stuff. And, you know, it's crazy. But, I mean, maybe we will keep him on the bench, but just sporadically, you know, increase his minutes in this upcoming game.
Yeah, and you got to understand the injury that he had. You know, it creates a little bit more fatigue when your body has to work a little bit harder. So, you know, to be honest with you. So, you know, and I know him being winded is not a knock against him at all. But it's like, it's just, you can understand why he's so winded. But that's a good point you made, because then maybe he doesn't see the starting floor because of that. So, you know, we'll see. We'll just have to see how.
All I can say is I am really excited to see, you know, what he, because it's we said it all season long last season that Spoelstra is the chess master, and that's all he's been doing. And you know, to see that more now, yeah. it's even better. And he has a whole 72 season, you know, games to play with it now. And the fact that it's the same team, yeah. pretty much the same team we had last season with, you know, the addition of, you know, Achiuwa and, you know, Avery Bradley and KZ, even though KZ was in the system, he never played, you know, we have pretty much the same team. So he knows, he has a personal relationship with a lot of these players. So he knows where he can put them, where he can't put them. So it's like, right now, the floor is Eric Spoelstra, and Eric Spoelstra is going in with the troopers. You know, give a little Star Wars reference there. But
it's
exciting to watch.
Absolutely. But, of course, I'm going to always call the Miami Heat to get the W. Oh, yeah. I think Miami has a real opportunity. I want them to split. I would rather them go 2-0. But I'll be okay with a split with those two games. What I don't want to see is Milwaukee walking away with both of those wins in Miami. Yeah. You know, one of the great things about Miami last season is that as a home team, we were ridiculous. So it was very, very few teams that won on a Miami Heat court last season. So I believe we had the best home record in the NBA. So it's you know, we got to at least split, but we can do it too.
I think it was the season before we made all the big trades and all that stuff. We literally, so that's when we still had Winslow, we still had Dion Waiters. We pretty much beat in a regular season Milwaukee twice in Miami when we played in Miami. Mm-hmm. Cause I believe we played them four times. Yeah. But we beat them in Miami twice. So I mean, it's what you're saying. It's not like impossible. You know, we could definitely sweep them.
It is, but again, this is where other factors you got to think about. I absolutely believe we can sweep them, but you got to believe they're coming off a loss versus the Knicks. But on top of that, they're also coming off of an embarrassing ending.
I wanted you to say it. That's why I said it like that.
Everybody freaking picked them to win. Everybody and their mother had them to win. The Miami Heat were underdogs in every single series in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Start to finish. And we finished them in a gentleman's sweep. A gentleman's sweep. That's how we finished Milwaukee, who had the best record, who had the best player in the league, who had the defensive player in the league. We finished them in five. So you got to believe that they're coming there sharpening their fangs. They want to bite into Miami. They want to beat us over the head. And they want
to... You know, to be real, so, I think everyone in the league right now has Miami circled on their calendar.
Yeah, I've been saying that. I said that was one of the drawbacks. It's a good and bad thing, in my opinion. Because the more people watch you, the more they respect you. But the more they watch you also, the more homework they can, and more data they can get off you. Us being in the finals, I will say up until that point, I don't think teams really took us seriously in that scouting report, in those scouting reports. Now, man, because here's a funny thing. New Orleans definitely didn't take that any scouting report seriously because they were leaving Duncan Robinson wide.
You know what's crazy? So they interviewed Van Gundy before the game, you know, asking him, you know, telling him welcome back, all this and stuff, and what his game plan was. And his game plan, he said we had to shut down the shooters. And obviously the team didn't hear him say that because they left Duncan Robinson wide open. So it's crazy.
And Duncan had his way that game, so on Christmas. So, you know, we'll have to see how Milwaukee responds to losing in such embarrassing fashion.
I just need you to keep saying that, man. Just keep saying.
Yeah, man, because I just love all the picks before the season started. Oh, it's Milwaukee and everybody else. And next thing you know, the Heat, you know, now already Barkley saying, oh, we're not going to be in Miami. We're not going to be like, okay, Charles. Like, it's like, we're going to have to do it again. And you're going to have to eat crow, as they say. you know, and you're going to have to learn to like
it. You know, man, I'm at the point where I just believe Barkley is paid to just talk nonsense now. Like, I honestly just think that's just how it is. Like,
I would believe that about anybody else but him, because he really is just, I mean, he's been on TNT for 20 years. He's been the exact same creep forever. The way he talks about teams and everything, he's just so blatantly disrespectful. Yeah, it's not even funny. Like, so I would believe that, but if it was anybody else but Charles Barkley, man, that guy literally has been the exact same, talking as badly as he does about teams. He does this all the time. Nothing new under the sun.
So before we go on break here, real quick, I want to say, if we sweep Milwaukee, do you think the narrative changes for Miami in the whole media and everything, or you think they're still going to be hating on Miami?
Hey, I mean, I'll believe it when I see it. I think if we beat Milwaukee twice, I think people are going to say, it's early. If they beat us twice, it's, oh, the Bucks are back. The Bucks are not taking any games. You know, that's how it's going to be, because that's what they do. And people, you know, fans may think we're being, like, just so, like, you know, angry or whatnot. And it's not an anger thing. It's just we're not surprised. We've been going through this forever. Miami literally had to beat the stigma after LeBron left that teams just get way worse when he leaves. You know what I mean? And literally within 2 years, we got to the playoffs after he left. The only reason why we missed it the first year that he left, is because of Bosch getting injured. Then the second year, Bosch gets injured, but we made the playoffs. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, get out of here. You know what I mean? Get out of here. Miami is just, teams win basketball games. You know what I mean? Talent, yes, talent wins championships, but Miami is very capable of winning a championship with the caliber team that we have, because we proved that we could get there in the bubble. And it'll be the same thing this year when we make the final.
Amen to that. Well, all right, guys, we're going to go ahead and go on a little break, and then we will be right back. So, yeah. What is up, you guys? Welcome back. So, AJ, let's go into some of the craziness that's going on around the league right now. We can just go ahead and start off with this crazy guy, man. Harden, man. Like, dude, like, are you kidding me? Like, how selfish do you have to be? You know, like, I understand, you know, you're upset. You're throwing a little hissy fit that you don't want to be there. You're disgruntled. It is what it is. But don't ruin it for everybody else, man. Don't be going to strip clubs. And if it wasn't a strip club, it wasn't, whatever. It looked like a strip club, so I'm going to call it a strip club. But you going out there, COVID season, no mask on. And like, come on, man. Come on, man. Come on. Like, yeah. like, it's honestly just crazy to me, man. Like, I just don't get it.
Here's the thing. I think, and people may disagree, but I think it's giving him a pass that he's just a disgruntled player.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I believe this is who he is. I believe that he is just like Dennis Rodman. It didn't matter what team he was on. He was just going to be himself. And it wasn't that he was disgruntled. It's just, this is what he wants to be. And I think what happened with Harden is very simple. He got away with doing all this stuff before. And now that he doesn't want to be there, now the Rockets are leaking all this stuff out. That's how this stuff happens. You cannot tell me that Harden all of a sudden just started doing this stuff. No, I don't believe that. What I believe is that they let him do what he wanted as long as he kept them relevant. And now that he doesn't want to be part of the team, quote unquote, anymore, now the Rockets are like, well, he does this and he does that. And then a report leaked. He showed up to practice whenever he wanted to, and he did this whenever he wanted to. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, there has been reports that, you know, Houston has covered up a lot of things that, you know, James Harden has done in the past seasons with them. But, I mean, like, if you feel that way, and again, I'm not defending Harden at all, but if you as an organization feel that way, first of all, as an organization, you are to blame for what has transpired with Harden, you know, this start of the season with everything and all this stuff, and then having to postpone a game and all this. You know, honestly, as an organization, if you really, I understand he is your quote unquote star player, and you pretty much put all your chips into him. But if it's really that bad, you already send away Westbrook, you send away Chris Paul, you have a nice restart with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, which, you know, amen to both of those guys, man. They've been through so much in the league, and they actually look very healthy and very good on the court together.
Right.
You know, why wouldn't you just do a nice package deal, even if it isn't a package deal, just move on from the whole Harden fiasco and move forward? I understand you put all your chips into him, but move forward. Like, it's about that time. It's not working. He obviously just, you know what's crazy? And you're going to laugh when I say this, AJ. But you know all the slack that we gave Paul George about the whole playoffs, the playoff pandemic, his nickname, the pandemic. Honestly, man, at this point, where has all this pandemic playoff talk been with James Harden? Because if you look back time and time and time again, when the lights are at his brightest, James Harden looks like a deer caught in the headlights. He can't take that extra hump. Chris Paul literally almost lost his leg against the Warriors. You feel me? Keeping the train rolling for Houston. And James Harden, nowhere to be found. I feel like we're at that point where it's and we've been at this point where we just have to be like, James Harden, no more excuses. We need to move on from it. That's what Houston needs to do.
Unfortunately, here's the thing, and this is why I hate the way the league is set up now. Because literally, you put up a lot of points, you know. It's almost like a smokescreen with him, you know. He puts up a lot of points, even in the loss to Portland. I think he had like 44. He was absolutely insane. And he's easily about 10 pounds overweight.
Oh, yeah.
But he was absolutely insane versus Portland. I was watching. I'm like, God, this guy could play. He can play. He really can play. Like, I mean, and he's using today's rules that and working it in his favor, you know, getting the easy fouls and all this stuff, getting players in foul trouble. So, you know, and falling after he's, you know, after he's like poked, you know, at the 3-point line. So, you know, you got to give him credit for that, but he can play. So it's nothing against his game, but I just think that Houston is too proud right now. They're not going to let him go unless they get a decent deal. The only reason why they haven't let him go is because they haven't gotten a good deal. And that's per multiple reports. That Houston does not like any of the offers that they got, and they're not even remotely interested unless teams up their offers, and they don't want to be the team known to have a disgruntled player and lose in a trade. They just don't want to be that team. They want to have sufficient amount of pieces or draft picks to rebuild or to build on what they already have. And really, the downfall of the team, honestly and shockingly, started the moment they traded their center. He wasn't that great of a center. What's that guy's name, man? You have to look that
up. Yeah, I look it up right now.
I don't remember at the top of my head. I can't remember. Like Caputo or something. Like Capella.
Capella. Yeah, click Capella.
So,
there you go.
I had to say it a couple times to make sure. But yeah, Capella. Even though he wasn't like this monster player, he fit in their system so well, defensively and offensively.
He was Harden their big man.
On him. He was their big man. Harden could count on him to catch lobs, to grab rebounds. He just worked with their system. And what happened was the Golden State Warriors shot them out of the playoffs. So, you know, Daniel Morey at the time was thinking, okay, well, maybe we just need more shooters. And you got more shooters. You got rid of your big man. And then look what happened. You fell by the wayside. So I'm of the mind where I don't think that they are going to trade him anytime soon. I think that unless somebody comes to the table, and I mean, they got to come to the table with it, from what I've been reading, Houston wants something big. They want a big package for him. So unless the team is able to do that, I don't see him leaving anytime soon, even though he needs to be gone, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing too. I mean, you're right, man. You know, Houston is just waving their finger, and they're being the bigger guy here. And it's just like, dude, like you need to just move your ego aside and not only do what's best for you, but in a sense, it's becoming destructive to the league. It's not just you, because the NBA was the only league last season who didn't have any situations with COVID. And now, right, all of a sudden, because of this so-called disgruntled player, now that one team is a team that has a situation with COVID.
Yeah, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. And I get that, too. It's not pretty. You know, because it is endangering the league again, because it felt like once Rudy Gobert got it, it felt like
the everybody, yeah,
fell. Yeah, and it fell so quickly. So you hate that. And then, you know, just to kind of interject this, you know, there was a kid, I'm not sure if you saw over this, I believe this was last weekend, but he, I believe he played for University of Florida, I believe. And Keontae Johnson, I believe that's his name. And he collapsed on the floor during the game. He collapsed.
That's crazy.
They had to take him out and whatnot. And he actually had to be put in an induced coma. They had to get him breathing again. He finally got breathing. And they ran all the tests. And come to find out, he has what? COVID. And not only did he have COVID, because he exerted himself so much, he has heart inflammation now, because his heart was working overtime just to keep his body moving. Now just think, a perfectly healthy athlete like him gets COVID-19 and doesn't know that he has COVID, but he's playing basketball. You know, that's dangerous. So it's something that you gotta take seriously. You gotta take it seriously. And Harden, it feels like he's not, especially with all the videos that surfaced of him in the club, wherever he was, in the locker room, dressed as a club, whatever. you know, he was out and about, and he didn't have a mask. He wasn't following protocol. You know, this is nothing new with the NBA. They suspended Lou Williams last year because he went to a strip club for chicken wings, and there was a picture posted.
Trying to get them thighs and
yeah, you know
stop.
What I mean?
Let me stop.
And hey, the NBA is something that you talk about, consistency.
Yeah,
they're being consistent with it. So you know, James Harden is pretty selfish for that, and you would hope that that he learns his lesson. At least I hope he does. I hope he learns his lesson from all of this.
Well, you see, the thing is, too, and I know I'm going to sound like a devil's advocate here, but, I mean, I blame James Harden, I do, but at the same time, I still blame Houston the most. Like, they're the ones who could literally put an end to his behavior. And, I mean, maybe not, but it's a step in the right direction, you know?
Yes, yes.
All right, yes. So that's enough of that nonsense. We're going to go ahead and jump to another team who, honestly, they're starting off strong. I know it's early, but they look really good, and that's because they got their dude back. If I can remember his name, we could do it, but we're going to talk about him. The Indiana Pacers are looking very nice.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's the thing with the Pacers. I actually thought that they were going to collapse this year. I really thought that. Now, it's only been two games or so, but I literally thought that they were going to collapse, and here's my reasoning for it, because everybody seemed frustrated with their star player, Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
And of course, these are just reports, you know, they always surface that people were frustrated by him a little bit because, you know, he's asking the Heat for a trade pretty much. You know, he wanted to be traded, you know, allegedly.
Yeah, come to find out, it's all fake and whatever.
You know, here's my thing. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't believe that, that it was complete BS. I don't believe that. I do believe that Oladipo wanted out. But it's to your credit, you know, hey, Sabonis, man.
Yeah. What's crazy is, too, we didn't even see him last season in the playoffs. And I want to say, I mean, we would have still won. But
it wouldn't have been. It would have been six games at least.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he's looking stronger than ever coming off of that. The best thing they did was rest him the whole season.
He looks huge. Yeah, the dude looks, I mean, he looks ripped. Like, I didn't know where that came from. I'm like, holy moly. Like, for you to do that in as little time as you did. You know, but you know, you got money, you have access to that. You know, you have access to, not like he bought his muscles, but you got access to nutritionists and personal trainers, and you tell them, hey, I just want to be bigger and stronger. All right, we'll do that for you. You know, now one of the things I think so far, their most impressive win obviously was against the Celtics the other night.
Yeah.
That was their most impressive win of all season. You know, I think that, and if you see the breakdown for them, it was pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Balanced. The scoring. It felt like everybody contributed in some way. I'm just waiting for the day where they actually play Cassius Stanley. If you don't know who Cassius Stanley is, it's who they drafted. Cassius Stanley is play for the Duke Blue Devils, and everybody knows I'm a huge Duke Blue Devil fan, and Cassius Stanley is a problem out here in these streets, so I'm just curious when they're going to start him to, you know, just to get him acclimated to the NBA play. He may not even be ready, but yeah, the Pacers look strong. Sabonis look really strong. You know, I really thought that the Malcolm Brogdon pickup last offseason for them was big. Milwaukee, I think Miami might have had a worse time with Malcolm Brogdon on Milwaukee. We didn't have issues with him really during this last playoff run, but Malcolm Brogdon works in that system in Milwaukee, but it seems like he's fitting a lot better. And didn't the Pacers get a new coach? Didn't they fired their other coach, right?
I believe so. I'm not too sure on that, actually. Yeah. I believe they did.
His name is Nate Borkin, who I've never heard of. But before, they had the black coach. I can't remember his name. Indiana, you know, they played the Knicks, blew them out. Played the Bulls, blew them out. Those are two teams you expect them to beat. So, you know, they beat the Celtics by one yesterday. So we'll see how they, what they really made of. They play the Celtics again tomorrow. But then it looks like they have
Nate Borjogrin, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So we'll see with them. But they have a fairly, you know, simple schedule. We don't see them, looks like, for a while.
You know what's crazy, though? Come playoff time, I would like to see the Pacers versus Celtics. I would like to see that. I would definitely would.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, that'd be a classic game. You know, everybody knows what Reggie Miller and the Boston Celtics but both of them, I think those are two evenly matched teams, but Boston has more of the talent with, you know, Jason Tatum. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I actually wouldn't mind having another crack at them to prove it's not a fluke.
Yeah, that too. I mean, because Miles Turner's looking nice. I know you're not a big fan of Miles Turner, but he's looking nice. Nah. Oladipo's looking healthy. If their team stays healthy with Sabonis, I could see them. Yeah. So here, we'll you know what? We'll transition to that. I want to kind of go into where you think the rankings of the East and the West are going to be this season. And I know it's early, but let's have a little fun, you know. And I can really see Boston and Indy being 4 and 5. I see us at that third spot. Well, actually, I'm gonna just name my 4 and 5, and then you can come back to me. I'm gonna let you go because it's my show, and I can make the rules. So I'm gonna let you name your 5.
I mean, I construct it right now. Miami would be in 7th place, but you know, and the Magic would be in 1st. We know that's not gonna be a deal for either of them. So, if I had to go 1 through 5 at least, I think the Nets are gonna win the first seed. I think they're gonna be first seed. I see it as Nets.
I would say, okay, I got my 5.
This is where I'm getting stuck.
I'm taking the baton back. Mm-hmm. All right, so my first 5, I actually see, I see, as you said, Brooklyn. I would see Milwaukee, then us, then, like I said, either in this, doesn't have to be in either 4 or 5 between the two, will be the Pacers and Celtics. I see them two fighting, you know, whether it be the Boston at 4 or at 5 with Pacers at 4 or 5. So that's my 5 going through.
Yeah, me, I don't even have the Pacers in my top 5.
Wow.
I have the Sixers at 5. I think that they're gonna. I think the Sixers are gonna. They're gonna. It's not necessarily they're taking this leap, but I think they're gonna take a step in the right direction with Doc Rivers on their team as their coach. So I actually have it being the Nets, the Bucks, the Heat, the Celtics, and the Sixers, and I see Pacers finishing 6. You know,
The thing is
that the Pacers, if you look at their schedule, it is like the simplest schedule, and maybe that's all the more reason.
That's why I'm
it's just like, man, if they're in the top 5, man, they might have a bit of a hard time come playoff time, because what teams have you really played? So that's my top 5 for the East. The West, of course, I'm gonna have to go with the Lakers for number 1. I actually think the Clippers are gonna do it. I know the 51-point loss. For the love of God, it happens. It's a loss. As I told somebody today, it's 51-point loss, not 51 losses. Okay, so so you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because
so,
if that's the case, the Sixers just lost to the Cavs.
You know what I'm saying? So come on, man. It's the beginning of the season. You know, it's a short season. Just give it a break, you know? So, you know, these LeBron fans, man. Like, Lord have mercy.
I'm seeing things on Twitter about how the Cavs are going to make the playoffs. I'm like,
yeah, like, come on, man. Like, are you come serious? Come on.
I mean,
come on.
Come on, man.
You feel me? So, like, just, I mean, Lord have mercy. So, yeah, so Lakers, and I think Clippers are actually going to finish 2nd in the East. And I think
in the West.
And I think the Clippers will see the Lakers at least in the Western Conference Finals.
Okay.
But I think that also I actually do like how the Thunder are looking. And I actually like how the Suns are looking. I'm not saying the Thunder will finish top 5, but the Suns, I can see them finishing 5. You got a Chris Paul on your squad, a healthy Chris Paul on your squad.
Yeah.
And that Devin Booker kid who, for the love of God, I'm still disappointed that Miami did not draft him and we drafted Winslow instead. But, you know, hindsight is 2020. but, you know, we're going to have to see. You know, you got the teams like the Jazz, you got the teams like Denver, so you got to expect them to come up. And for the love of God, if Kristaps could just stay healthy, for the love of God, Dallas could be a contender, but yeah, it's just, he just can't stay healthy.
Yeah. So here's my lineup for West. Obviously, you know, you got the Lakers and the Clippers. You know, a sleeper team that I'm going to put in there, that they actually made some nice moves this offseason, it's Portland, and I'm probably gonna be very wrong in this, but I'm just going with what I see and how I'm feeling, and I can see them top 5. I really do see Portland top 5.
Oh, wow.
And you know, then, you know, yeah, you have the Suns, and you can't sleep on Denver, as you said, or Dallas. It's really sad, and I know we talked about it, to see what Seth Curry is going through right now with the Warriors, and you know these teams that are just bullying them, you know, making themselves look ridiculous. But you know, it is what it is. Yeah, man. I think the West sleeper team is really Portland. They made a lot of nice moves. You know, they got Cantor back. They got Derrick Jones Jr. You know, you have your Melo, you have Lillard, my bad. McCollum. You have a lot of nice pieces in there that if they stay healthy, they're a very athletic team. It's funny because I mean, what's this guy's name? Is not there anymore. Hassan Whiteside, but you know, it is what it is.
Where did he end up signing? Is he with Sacramento now?
No, I believe it's the YMCA Pickup League.
It makes sense. Yeah.
I'm not too sure. As a matter of fact, let me see where that is, because that is something I've been curious about. Where did he go?
I want to say it's Sacramento, because I'm not sure if it's Sacramento.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is definitely Sacramento.
Because I believe that was the team that drafted him. when he was in the draft.
Yeah.
So that's pretty funny. But you know, God bless him.
Yeah,
you
know, man.
Hassan Whiteside got his little money. You know, he made his money. We're not gonna see the likes of him anymore. I give it one more year.
Yeah, one more year. He's going overseas, man. Or he's going back to the YMCA gym.
Yeah, it's over. It's over. So but you know, we'll see in both conferences. I think every team is just happy to be back playing. I'm happy to be watching basketball.
Amen.
I'm going to look forward to the time where fans could actually come and watch the games more. Like you said, some cities are allowing a very minimum capacity, but man, I just miss seeing those full bleachers and fans screaming, you know, after the next big shot and all of this stuff. And you know, I look forward to it. So I really hope that, you know, they give us a great season. You know, we're just beginning. So, but I'm just really excited.
I kind of have a question also on that, on the fans portion. So as I'm seeing the courts, a lot of the courts are still doing what they did in the bubble, which they had those screens, you know, where the photographers used to sit. There's like that little podium where you see when we were playing the Pelicans, JJ Redick got fouled and he ran out and he jumped on that thing. Do you think when they do bring back fans, they're just going to let nobody else on the court, not even the photographers that they had on the sidelines? Do you think that it's just going to be the fans themselves in the you know, arena, and then the court is literally just going to be like no floor seats? It's going to be just straight.
Yeah, I that's what I was going to say. I don't think it's going to be floor seats like that. I think it's going to be very limited, even when it is allowed to be at a huge capacity. I think they're going to limit it because you just don't want to be responsible for being a spreader.
Yeah.
You just don't. You don't want that. You don't want that for each team and for each stadium. That's the last thing that they want.
True.
You know, is to allow fans in and then and be like, oh, well, like 100 people got COVID at this arena. Like, it's just bad PR.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and a lot of people are sensitive to COVID, man. A lot of people's family members. I had a cousin that died from COVID. You know, a lot of people's family members, you know, have died from this. So, you know, and there's blame to go around for everyone, but people are looking for others to blame.
Yep.
They're looking for people to blame. So you just don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that company. You don't want to be that arena. So I just highly doubt that they'll have all these floor seats, because it's a waste. Why would you pay season tickets to be able to only see, you know, a very limited, you know, vision? You usually pay so you could be right there in the scene, in the cut.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, also the way I see it too, I think if they do keep it like that, it'll also be, if, you know, I mean, how many times do we see these players running into, you know, the cameraman on the side and then complaining that, oh, y'all need to push back. Y'all need to push back. Now they don't need to worry about that, you know, too. So that's another thing. But yeah. Man, I'm excited. All right. So we're going to go ahead and end it off here. But before we do, you said your standings, but what are you rating on where the Heat are going to end the season?
Yeah, I think the Heat are finishing third. And that's what I'm strong on. But I do see them finishing second also. I see that as a possibility because I think that Miami, if you're Miami, you gotta reassert yourself into the conversation because you're never gonna be in the conversation. You know, no matter what you did the year before, nobody's having you part of the conversation. And it's funny because they finally had a segment on the Heat on First Take on ESPN. And the segment wasn't how great the Heat was. It was like, are the Heat being overlooked? You know what I mean? And I'm like, wow. But they made good points about that because they were like, well, it's just that everybody else, there's news, there's bigger news everywhere else. KD coming back.
Yeah.
Giannis signing that giant contract, so he's not going to be the whale that we wanted to join our team. So there were bigger storylines in the Miami Heat. And to be honest with you, that sucks. So we're going to have to do it again. I would love to see a Miami Heat. I really want us to finish second so we could see the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that would be epic. I think a Jimmy Butler-Durant duel would be epic. I think that a Kyrie versus the Heat, because we have issues with guard play, but now we got Avery Bradley. So, you know, I would love to see Avery Bradley go at Kyrie Irving, and I would love to see Jimmy Butler go at KD. So that's what I want to see for the Eastern Conference Finals. But I think we could finish second. I really do. Three, I'm very strong with.
Okay. And the playoffs, you see us all the way?
Yeah, I see us getting to the finals. I definitely see us getting to the finals. I think that Nets series has me worried. I think it will go seven because KD is just a bad boy, man. I think KD is literally a bad boy. And literally, you would have to... Oh, man. There's so many things that have to go right for you. And the thing is, right now, anyway, as it stands, their bench is really, really solid as well. But remember, Miami can always make moves.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of time, you know, so let's see what Miami does.
You know what's crazy? And I'm not trying to jinx, you know, anything on Brooklyn, but I see Kyrie getting hurt again.
Possibility. Definitely a possibility.
I definitely do, just because he's made of glass, man. You know, he's made of glass. On my end, I honestly see the same exact thing that you said with them, you know, a third strong two, two strong third. I see them going all the way. But I see us, we just have that track record, you know. I mean, mind you, we did have the big three, but we have that track record with a shorter season to have a good season. So I see it keeping it going. How crazy would it be, though? So we're going to switch over to the West. How crazy would it be to see Houston hit top five in the playoffs?
Yeah, that would be insane.
That would be, I don't know. That would be crazy. That would be insane.
I don't know.
Like what? I wouldn't even... I'm just going to leave that there. Let it ponder for a little bit. Like, what would you do? But, guys, that's what we're thinking. That's where we're at. Go ahead, AJ. Start with your plugins, man.
Yeah, before I do that, two things. First of all, it's breaking news with the NBA. It looks like Ja Morant was taken off in a wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
And I just hate to hear that, and I hate to see that because that kid has been sensational since the start of the season, and he injured himself so badly that they have to take him out on a wheelchair. That really sucks. You got to hope that it's not anything major. You gotta hope that, because that just takes the wind out of the West. Because I think that Ja Morant can compete with any point guard in the West.
Yeah, and it's definitely taking the wind out of me right now because I have him on my ticket. So,
there it is. You know, but I just best of prayers. You know, prayers up for him.
Yeah, amen.
And best wishes for him. The other thing is that one of the great things about this show is that we always hold ourselves and each other accountable in good and in bad. We give roses where roses are due, and we admit to something even if we even if we don't want to. There's one thing I gotta address.
And
this is literally...
I had no idea what's going on. I'm excited. I'm strapping in. Let me put the seatbelt on real
quick. This is literally this has everything to do Not saying that I'm still changing my statement of what I said about this player. Not changing my statement at all, what I said about him. But for the first time, I actually do see a silver lining and a pathway. And if he stays on this pathway, then I can see him being a force in the NBA. The video that I saw of Dwayne Wade and Zaire Wade completely shocked me. It completely shocked me. Because what now, mind you, Dwayne Wade took him to the woodshed now. Don't get me wrong. But Zaire is made and cut from that cloth. It looks like. Because before, I never thought that Zaire took it seriously. I never thought that he really took it serious. I always felt like he thought it was handed to him because that's how he played. You know, when I look at his scouting report, it's very underwhelming. You know, it's very underwhelming. And the thing is that you don't want to get caught up, you know, comparing, but you can't help but compare because they're his sons. Just like when Jordan's kids, they didn't even want to play basketball, but they played basketball anyway, and they both were terrible. You know, you got sons that come through the NBA all the time. And now, the NFL is a little bit different, but the NFL, a lot of their sons play a different position. You know, so the pressure is not on them. I can't imagine Jerry Rice having a son that's a wide receiver. I mean, come on, that just wouldn't work. So, they always say talent skips a generation, you know, but Zaire, for those who don't know, what I actually said, and I said this openly on Twitter, was that I just don't see it. And I didn't, and I still don't see it. I don't know how he could, how his play right now will translate into the NBA. But what I will say is that for the first time when I saw the video with him playing with his dad, I see that his body has changed. He's filled in a lot more. He looked way more aggressive and way more competitive than he ever had looked before. Any game I've ever seen him in. One-on-one with his dad, he was with the shit. Okay, excuse my language, but he was with it. Okay, so what I'm saying is I still don't believe that he's going to be all that in the NBA. He may get to it because the talent pool is low in the NBA for right out of college, you know, students. He still will get in, you know, but I don't think very much of him as a player still. But he sticks with Wade and he works out with Wade. And if he has the dog that I think I saw in that video, then he will completely make me a liar. But as it's presently constructed, I'm still sticking to my guns.
I'll still take the roses though. Because I've been saying that since day one of Zaire.
Not yet. I'll give you the roses. I have my hand out waiting.
How about that? I'll do that.
Yeah, I was about to say, you can have your hand out waiting. I will give you the roses when he proves me wrong. But when he proves me wrong, because again, I'm not comparing him to his dad. I'm just looking at him, and subconsciously, you still technically are, but just as a player, period. Yeah. You just expect a little bit more from him than what he's shown throughout high school. Now, people could talk about how, you know, the coach at Sierra Canyon wasn't playing him as much and, you know, all this stuff. But I never really took him seriously. He doesn't have the jump that his dad has. He has the jump. He has a better jump shot than his dad does. I can say that. You know, his dad is definitely going to still make more, but it definitely looks like he has a better jump shot.
So I've seen Zaire since he was young and training and playing, and most definitely I've seen him recently train, you know, with his dad, and even the last season of his dad training, we got to see a lot of that because his dad did the whole world tour of his retirement, and we got to see all that. Now, here's the thing that what we don't see. And it makes a big factor. The fact that you have a dad like D Wade who is so invested and so connected throughout the league, unless you do the research for it, you're not gonna know. But the connections that Zaire Wade has with Kevin Durant, that he speaks with him on a daily basis about basketball. And they, you know, there's times when he'll be in the gym working out with his dad and KD would just pop up. Remember that little talk where we thought KD was coming to Miami he was actually coming to work out with D Wade and Zari. And, you know, and so a lot of that is what Zari is getting that D Wade never got, and he's making sure that Zari get it. It's the knowledge before even getting into college. It's the IQ of the game. And yeah, we may not see it in the high school ball and all this stuff, but it's because you could only do so much. So a lot of the stuff that we see when it comes to, you know, him getting better and him training, it's mainly coming from what he's doing off the court, not what he's doing on that high school court. And
that's fine. And that's all well and good. But at some point, whatever he's getting off the court has to translate on.
You're right. But we're gonna see that in college. Remember, he's right now. This was his last year of high school. So we haven't seen him do anything because he hasn't really been doing anything but working out right now. Yeah. So once that new season of college starts for him and he's playing, remember, that's a whole nother tier level where he has to fight for it and fight for that position to play, because it's a whole nother sub level, which I believe we're going to see that. But just the fact that he's getting the IQ from like a KD, it's most definitely from a LeBron James, from, you know, even his father, you know, other people around the league. And it's just like so young, but yet you have all these avenues. You know, it's just like, man, you can't sleep on that fact either, that it's only going to do one thing, but make him not only stronger as a player, but make him smarter as a player, too.
Well, I'll tell you like this. I'm still sleep on me, but now I'm a light sleeper. That's what it is. That's all I had to say on this show. So guys, you guys know you can check me out on my page, AJ_SMG_. Song Me Vs Me dropping this Thursday, December 31st at midnight. Insane.
Let's go.
I cannot wait for that. It's going to be insane. People are actually really anticipating that because of that cover art. So, but I can't wait to release that song. So, December 31st at midnight, that song, it will be live and hot on all major streaming platforms. And that's it for me, man.
All right, man. And you guys already know, you can follow me on The Real Talk with CeeLo's on Twitter, Twitch. I'm actually, I'm going to be streaming tonight. Some COD. So you go on there and check me out. But yeah, man, guys, one thing we are going to do, don't be surprised if you see some messages. We have some fans coming up pretty soon, credibility fans, where we sat there, we talked to them, they have a following, stuff like that. They're going to come on here, they're going to give us their input, we're going to be asking them some questions, getting to know them more, and we want to bring this to you guys. We want to bring you guys a part of this atmosphere, part of this culture, so stay tuned for that, man. You'll see it in a couple weeks, and let's go Heat tomorrow night on TNT on the Bucks. So yeah, we'll be back, man.